And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on the show tomorrow as we enter the 4th of July weekend, three-time Pulitzer Prize winning author Rick Atkinson talks about the second volume of his Revolution trilogy, a tour de force account of the middle years of the American Revolutionary War. It's called The Fate of the Day, and it's chock full of insights and takes on history that resonate with the current moment. So Rick Atkinson will join me tomorrow, and joining me now here in Studio B is Portia Wu, the Secretary of Labor for the state of Maryland. Madam Secretary, welcome. It's always good to talk to you.
Glad to be here.
So give us an overview of the unemployment and employment situation in the state. The national employment numbers will be released for the month of June tomorrow. We have some sense of what happened in May, but what's your read of where we stand here in the state?
So the latest job numbers we have for Maryland are also from May, and those show that actually our state's economy, obviously we're concerned about the impacts of the federal government changes and what's happening for Maryland, but our state actually added close to 3,000 jobs in May, and that's over 4,700 in the private sector, but offset from some losses in the public sector. And that, of course, was dominated by federal job losses.
Did that surprise you? I mean, here in the middle of all these job losses, we have such a high concentration of federal employees in the state of Maryland. The actual job employment numbers went up by, as you say, about 3,000 people.
Well, you know, there has been strong job growth during the Moore-Miller administration. We've actually added over 100,000 jobs in the last 2 years. I do think that we don't know the full course of the federal jobs impacts at this point. Like I said, the federal job losses actually right now are a little bit over 3,000 in Maryland, but we know that there are over 250,000 Marylanders who work in the federal government, and frankly, about 1 in 7 Marylanders is either a federal employee or federal contractor. So we know there could be more impacts to come. I think it's still early days, but we're glad to see the strong private sector job growth.
And of course, this is a really difficult thing to speculate and predict because there are court cases going back and forth. There was just one 2 days ago that said that many of the people who were let go from HHS, Health and Human Services, were let go illegally. So I don't know whether that means everybody just comes pouring back into the office on Monday morning. I mean, I just don't know how that works. How do you deal with that uncertainty, that really lack of capacity to know and to predict what's going to happen?
Obviously, that's very difficult for individual federal workers and their families. From Maryland Department of Labor's perspective, the best thing we can do is provide support. And I think you see that uncertainty actually reflected in some of our unemployment numbers. We've only had a little over 2,000 federal employees apply for unemployment. It's because people aren't sure if they're maybe going back to work next week or the week after. But what we're doing now is we're seeing a lot of people looking around, trying to access resources and understand, okay, if I do lose my job or I might be impacted in some other way, what are my options? So that's what we're focusing on, is we have a workshop for federal employees and contractors, getting people the information, helping them understand what's out there.
And one of the places they're evidently not going to be able to look is the state of Maryland. The governor has implemented a hiring freeze. There are a number of unfilled positions that are going to remain unfilled. That is, of course, not his his favorite thing to have to decide. When he took office, he had hoped to add 10,000 positions, you know, to the state government. He found it very much understaffed. How's that going to jive with, you know, attracting federal workers to the state? I mean, the governor and I talked about that last time we chatted on this show. Is that particular part of the program on hold? I mean, how does that fit into the overall picture?
Well, this is an area where I know a lot of people have questions. I want to emphasize the hiring freeze is not a complete halt to hiring for state positions. There will be specific critical needs that we are still hiring for and trying to fill. We know there's a tremendous amount of talent out there, and we want to make sure that we are continuing to fill those positions. We do have to be judicious and focused, and of course, we'll have to continue to see how the federal situation unfolds. It is not a complete halt, but it does mean that any hiring will be very focused and focused on meeting the state's most urgent talent needs.
How about your department in particular, the Department of Labor, back during the pandemic when a number of people all of a sudden all at once had to apply for unemployment? There were all sorts of problems this way before the Moore Miller administration took office. People would call to, you know, work out the details of their unemployment compensation claims, and nobody would answer. Nobody was home. And it was, again, attributed to a paucity of workers in the Department of Labor specifically. If there is that kind of uptick again in unemployment claims because of federal worker layoffs, are you all equipped to handle it?
Well, we're doing our very best to prepare for it. Obviously, we can't tell exactly what the magnitude is going to be here, but we did learn a lot of lessons from that situation during pandemic. Again, that was before I came to the seat and the administration, the current administration, took office. I will say, unfortunately, the federal government has taken back a lot of unemployment insurance modernization funds, which we had hoped to be able to use to further improve our systems. We know there are a lot of great technology tools now that can make things faster and better. But we are doing our very best. We're hiring a lot more workers to man those lines, the phone lines. And that is one area where actually
there was specific, not part of the freeze. Then.
There actually was specific language in the budget to enable us to continue to hire to meet those needs, to adjudicate people's cases and process them, because we knew this could be a potential need.
The national unemployment rate in May, as of today, is estimated to be about 4%. That's up a little bit, 0.3%. from a year ago. Here in the city of Baltimore, the Columbia, Baltimore, Towson area, according to a sort of what they call a metropolitan survey — this is not the National Labor Department, their numbers, which are going to come out tomorrow morning — we're at about 3.2% as of May of this year. So we're a little bit under the national average. But does it strike you as probable that we'll be able to hover right around what the national average is or stay a little bit below it? Do you have any idea?
I think a lot depends, as you've said, Tom, on what happens with the federal government. We are encouraged to continue to see strong private sector growth in Maryland, but there are a lot of things that are still changing in that landscape. Obviously, the focus on private sector growth that Governor Moore has placed before us and all the cabinet agencies is going to be incredibly important. We know we have to diversify our economy and look at sectors where Maryland has a lot of natural advantages and see if we can continue to grow.
The other difficulty created by the bill that is making its way through the House of Representatives now — the Senate passed its version, brought it back to the House. Speaker Mike Johnson is committed to getting it voted in by the 4th of July on Friday — is that it puts new burdens on the state to implement some of what's going to be changed about Medicaid, for example. People are going to have work requirements that come with a lot of paperwork that need to be filed to prove that they're fulfilling their obligations according to the new rules of Medicaid. And the states are the ones that are going to have to police that and figure that out. Is the state of Maryland in a position where we have the requisite skill set and people to be able to monitor that kind of change to the Medicaid program in particular?
Well, I can't speak to Medicaid. I defer to my sister agency on that. But I will say it will require changes. Obviously, any of these federal program changes and federal funding changes will require changes on the ground. What will be difficult is, especially if some of the cuts of the magnitude we are seeing happen, will there be sufficient funding for the staff to do that additional work that is being asked by the feds? This is where we're going to have to innovate and do our very best at the state level to make sure we can train and support our own workforce and use whatever tools, technology, other expertise we can to implement new requirements.
But when it comes to the hiring freeze at the state, you're offering buyouts to people. The initial reaction to that — are you getting a lot of people raising their hand and saying, "Yeah, I'll grab a buyout from the state"? Do you have a goal, a specific, percentage of the workforce goal or dollar number goal that you want to achieve with these buyouts and having people leave their state employment system?
So it's a voluntary separation program, which is a little bit different from a buyout. And the guidelines about that are going to be released by Department of Budget and Management in the coming days. We have not yet released those details. I will say that the budget that was passed by the General Assembly and signed by the governor does include overall targets in terms of personnel reductions and dollar amounts that do need to be hit. But that is through a combination of actions. That's through the freeze, through the voluntary separation, eliminating vacant positions that perhaps have not been filled in quite some time.
If you've just joined us, it's midday. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is the Maryland Department of Labor Secretary, Portia Wu. If you have a question or comment for Secretary Wu, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. When it comes to the state requirements for something like monitoring Medicaid, is this a sort of normal thing where the federal government just comes down, swoops in and says, okay, state of Maryland, here's what you have to do now? Do you have any sense from the congressional delegation, and maybe you weren't involved in any of these conversations, but is there any sense that the states had any say in what was going to be required of them to you know, implement this new approach, shall we call it, to Medicaid done at the federal level? I mean, this really, you know, the local jurisdictions often complain about state mandates. I wonder, when it comes to federal mandates to the states, how you all deal with that at the cabinet level in the administration?
Well, again, I can't speak to this particular set of circumstances. I can say I think we've all seen publicly it's been happening very rapidly, and I'm not sure how much time there has been for that state input. I know on the workforce side, we do try to, for example, through our state associations, provide feedback to Congress and to congressional staff. Having been on that side myself, you know, it's important to get that information. Obviously, there's some bigger dynamics at play here and a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah, and there's going to be a whole lot of people who heretofore have qualified for coverage under health care coverage under Medicaid in particular, who are no longer going to be qualified. Some of them are going to get disqualified because of the paperwork. I mean, that's the expectation. And I think it's that expectation that they've written into the numbers. They're just assuming that people are going to screw up the reporting, and therefore they'll be licensed to kick them off the program. Again, the heartlessness of that is just astonishing. But it will come down to the state level, won't it? I mean, this will be a state problem pretty soon.
That's true not only for Maryland, but for all states. Right?
Sure.
We are the ones who are serving people on the front lines, and that's, you know, it's people on our neighborhoods and communities who are going to be impacted by these changes.
Yeah, it's really something. Now, when it comes to support for federal workers who've been laid off, there's a loan program as well that I understand. You can give people $700 interest-free. What are the parameters of that program?
So we just launched that program. It was under legislation that was passed by the General Assembly and signed by Governor Moore earlier this year. That's exactly right. Maryland residents who were federal employees who have lost their jobs due to circumstances beyond their control. There's a set list that qualifies, but it's typically reductions in force like the kinds we are seeing right now. They're eligible for zero interest loans, $700, as you mentioned. We recognize that's a modest amount, but that is what's available at this time. And we are trying to, you know, really just help people bridge emergency circumstances. A lot of people didn't see this coming, may not have prepared for it. So it's just another tool. Individuals can, of course, also apply for unemployment insurance if they qualify for that, and many employees will. And like I said, we have job referral and job search services because we know people are eager to find new work. That's really the best solution for a lot of people.
Let me, in our last couple of minutes here, switch topics to workplace protections that are now in place this summer that weren't in place last summer, in particular protections having to do with folks who have to work outside. We had a DPW worker, a couple DPW workers who lost their lives on the job, one of them heat-related. Before we had these torrential rains in the last, you know, few days, we had scorching heat. And DPW here in Baltimore, you know, suspended their operations early each day. But are you comfortable that the new regulations and the new protections for workers are effective? They're written the right way, and are people paying attention to them?
So the new heat safety standards are in effect, and it protects workers in any indoor or outdoor environment where they're exposed to excessive heat. We're excited about them. They are, you know, common sense standards that were science-based. We looked at what's being done around the country. We think they provide very important protections. They're common sense, you know, rest, breaks, shade, water, have a plan, know the signs of heat stress and heat danger, and have a figure out a way to address them. But we are hearing a lot of reaction. We reached out to over 1,300 stakeholders around the country, have engaged with us, around the state, have engaged with us asking questions. We provide free consultation to small businesses. If you're not sure how to do this, reach out to us. We're happy to provide some help. We want everyone to be safe.
And did you work, you know, specifically, for example, with like the DPW, the Department of Public Works here in the city of Baltimore, helping them develop their protocols, their training, their standards? Is that something that the State Department of Labor does?
We certainly do work with public agencies. I can't speak to what the engagement has been with that particular one, but if other public agencies want to reach out to us, we're happy to provide that help to help them understand what's needed.
I don't know if you're like me, but I'm a terrible sleeper. I lose sleep over all sorts of stuff. And I just wonder, what do you lose sleep about? In this climate here, which is just so crazy and wacky and, you know, when we're charitable, that's what we call it. We call it crazy and wacky. But what worries you the most?
I tend to be optimistic. I think of, you know, a crisis as an opportunity to meet a challenge. I do think the confluence of the federal government changes with technology changes create a lot of uncertainty. Maryland has a knowledge-based economy. It has a lot of very highly skilled and trained workers. The advent of AI means even those paths are becoming uncertain. But I think with Governor Moore's leadership, and, you know, I have a background in technology industry myself, this is our moment, right? We have to think about, how do we meet these challenges together? How can we innovate? How can we find opportunities? And most importantly, how can we make sure not to leave people behind, bring them into the new economy that's being created?
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation, because at the same time that you want to attract AI industry and quantum and all of the new tech, you want to protect people whose jobs may be in jeopardy because of that technology. That's a delicate tension, isn't it?
It is. I think it also means, you know, we need to think about, how are we training young people and returning workers of all kinds, maybe transitioning feds, for the jobs that are being created, right? And that may mean more hands-on learning experience. It may mean thinking about, how can we make sure in high school and college and beyond that we're giving people opportunities to keep retooling, gaining new skills, refining, and maybe making some changes in their careers.
Maryland Labor Secretary Portia Wu has been my guest. Madam Secretary, I appreciate your time, and happy holiday weekend.
Thank you so much. Stay safe, everyone.
And up next, we're going to have a theater review. Jay Wynn Russick will join me. She's going to talk about the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company's production of Julius Caesar. It's at the Patapsco Female Institute Historic Park, a very long, funky name for a very beautiful place. It's over in Ellicott City. And if you want to catch some Shakespeare in the star, under the stars, Julius Caesar is the production that Chesapeake Shakespeare is producing at that very park as we speak. And Judy will join me on the other side to talk about it after a quick break. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.